Walter Hood alongside. Walter, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am terrific. And boy, I haven't seen you for a while. In fact, when I say a while, I guess it's like May 28th. And here we are at July the 24th. And that means school is coming.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Walter? How do you feel?
Well, I feel rejuvenated, ready to get this new school year going.
Yep, it's going to be exciting. Just because we happen to love school, but it's exciting. And, you know, I spent the last 2 weeks at Washington University, and next year I'm going to stand over you and make sure you sign up for this thing. Because you would have enjoyed it so much. It was extraordinary. It really was. And it was last year, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is, you know, first of all, we're in 2024 where you got all these racists running around saying horrible things. And we'll talk about some of that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I mean, this was a program put on by AFAS, which is African American Studies, but Black Studies, at WashU. In fact, that's a funny thing in itself, because we did have a conversation during the sessions about what you really should be calling this. And generally, people said that they say Black as opposed to African American. But on the other hand, they all agreed that African American and Black certainly are synonymous.
Right.
But everybody said they prefer Black. How about you?
me personally, like, I don't have a preference when it comes to it. You know, especially for me, I identify as Black or African American. Really doesn't make a difference to me.
Okay. You know, Onion Horton, my great friend and longtime broadcast partner, he used to say, "I'm Black." And then he said, "What do I know about Africa? Nothing." However, that sounds like Onion, but he could flip on in a moment, just anytime he wanted to, and start talking about Africa. Even though he would say, "I really don't know anything about Africa, and I don't have a connection to Africa."
Right.
So he could play it both ways, which, you know, a good broadcaster, political person, that would be expected. But in any event, you know, for me, I always point to the fact that, you know, my family was from, they said, Russia. I mean, they said for years, Russia. So I used to say, well, I guess I'm a Russian-American, which would be fair if you're an African-American, I'm a Russian-American, right?
Right.
I mean, it's the same. It's certainly equivalent. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. But as it turns out, years later, I found out that my grandmother came from Ukraine. My grandfather came from Lithuania, which at one time were, of course, both owned by Russia.
Right.
And obviously we're in a fight right now around the world for Russia to try to reacquire at least Ukraine, and who knows what else they want. Hopefully we never have a chance to find out. But the truth is, it's a funny deal. Because Blackness in America is under such attack right now that whatever you call it, you call it Black, call it African American, call it what you want, it's under attack in the most vicious ways possible. So talk to me about how you feel about the attack.
The attack on Black people as a whole?
Sure,
or just,
sure, yeah.
To be honest, it's nothing new because, you know, though this is 2024, you know, racism is still there. You know, discrimination is still there in the Black communities. You know, especially, I mean, even though slavery has been over for, you know, a long time, you know, civil rights movement wasn't that long ago, right? But we're still fighting for equality in the modern day.
Yeah. You know? And even worse than what it was, let's say, just 20 years ago, it's worse. Do you think?
Let's see. Well, 20 years ago, I was what?
You were about 12, 10, 12 years old. Right.
But, you know, just I always feel like being Black in America is a blessing and a curse at the same time, because we as a people, we've done so much for this country. We've contributed so much to this country, just even just the foundation of this country. And still in 2024, we still have the issues that we're having. For example, the incident that happened just recently of what happened to Sonya Massie. That's a prime example. Like, it shouldn't have happened the way it did.
Yeah, so, and these things are happening all the time.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I mean, we come up with certain names that get in the forefront, but honestly, this goes on all the time. Black people under attack in every direction from everybody.
Absolutely. And I give you a prime example. So I was just in Memphis last week with a group of students, and we visited the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis. And this is probably my second time going there. No, attached to the museum is the motel where Dr. King was, you know, when he was assassinated. So when you go through the museum, if you ever get a chance to go through the museum, like, you see so many different, you know, parts of history, especially during the Civil Rights Movement, that just impacted not only us as a people, but us as a country. You know, they talk about, you know, of course, they talk about Dr. King. They talk about Rosa Parks. They talk about, you know, Andrew Young. They talk about all these different figures and all these different events that occurred, you know, the good and the bad of the Civil Rights Movement. And it just is really amazing to see how much we as Black people have endured just to have the same rights as others, or at least the same opportunity as others.
Sure. And here we are in the middle of one of the most exciting times for Black people. And I'm talking, of course, about Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
And of course, she's got the double whammy because she's not only Black, but she's also a woman.
Right.
And on top of that, the same thing that you heard about Obama many times over the years, which is people saying she's not Black. So,
yeah.
And of course, those are white people saying it. I don't even know what it's their business, but in regard to that, can you talk to me? Because I think really only a Black person can really explain to people in general what this business is of idiots walking around pointing at people and saying you're not Black when you're Black. What's that about?
You know, I can't really, well, I can't really speak on Kamala's behalf, but, you know, sometimes, you know, people's Blackness have always been questioned, so to speak. You know, whether you are brown skin, whether you're dark skin, whether you're light skin, you know, there's always a debate of how Black a person can be. That's just always been the thing. For Kamala Harris, unfortunately, it's not just white people saying that she's not Black. There are other people that are saying that. You know, because she is a Black woman, I would say she's a Black woman who's going to potentially have the Democratic ticket to run for president. And, you know, it came as a shock to everybody that, you know, Joe Biden decided not to run. But it seems like for the most part, people are backing Kamala 100%. And like, for example, there was a, not an incident, but an event that happened just a couple of days ago where like a group of Black women, they raised, you know, raised some money in, on behalf of Harris. And same for a group of Black men, same thing. If I'm not mistaken, she raised maybe, what, $81 million within, like, what, 24 hours?
Well, actually, it was over $100 million in the first 48 hours, okay? Right. Over $100 million, which is the largest amount raised by anybody in the history of the United States.
Right.
Which means the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think it's, like, for Kamala Harris, I don't think it's necessarily her. Well, her Blackness is in question, but also some of her political decisions before she became vice president. That's what a lot of people look at as well.
Yeah, and that would be a legitimate thing to look at. You know, what kind of political decisions did you make? How did you hold up as, like, a prosecutor? She says she's a prosecutor, and she is. Right. So people have a right to look at her prosecutorial record and to say, how did she do? Mm-hmm. You know, so that would be okay. But what wouldn't be okay, as an example, and I don't know if you've heard this one, but this is so pathetic. There's a lady running around. Her name is Valentina Gomez, and she's running for Secretary of State in Missouri. Have you heard of her?
I haven't heard of her, no.
Okay. Well, she's running around saying that Kamala Harris is a whore.
Wow.
I mean, where do they come up with this junk? I mean, how could that even be a legitimate thing to say about a person who was vice president of the United States for 3.5 years, who was in the United States Senate, who was an attorney general of California, and a prosecutor in Northern California? I mean, none of it makes the slightest bit of sense. And then to say she's a whore? Where does that language come from? Who even thinks of that?
Well, I think a lot of it is because people are reacting based off emotion and not facts. And a lot of times, you know, because everyone's entitled to their own opinion, you know,
but not to say that.
But not to say that, of course,
right.
But they just, a lot of people just, especially how heated this presidential election is getting, people are going to say anything.
Yeah, I guess. Do you know that 100,000 people in the last week have signed up to volunteer to work for Kamala Harris? 100,000. And just to give you an example, to put it into context, prior to her becoming the candidate, the Democratic Party was getting 200 people per day. So that means in a normal week, they might get, let's say, 1,400. 1,400. In a week, she's come up with 100,000 new volunteers. I mean, do you think this country's on fire in support of her? I do.
It seems like it, especially with the amount of money that's been raised so far.
Yeah.
And it wasn't this wasn't in a week or 2 weeks. This is within days.
In days. I mean, she just opened her mouth. Really, Joe Biden really did it. And I'll tell you, I love him for it, because we're at such a crucial time in American history, and I know the other side doesn't want to hear this, but the other side is aligned with fascism and neo-Nazism. I mean, they are. There's just no way around it. I mean, Donald Trump uses the language that he takes from Adolf Hitler. It's a fact. You know, I remember at the end of last year, I was running the video in front of our kids at school. And in the video, Donald says that the blood of America is being poisoned, which is straight out of Hitler, and it's being poisoned by migrants coming from Africa. So which migrants are coming from Africa? Walter, what do you think?
Well,
I mean, they're not. Somebody,
they don't look like Donald Trump.
They're not Norwegian. They're black.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and I know there were kids in some of our classes who actually said he doesn't mean us.
Yeah, I never forget during the presidential debate where he mentioned about black jobs.
Sure.
And, you know, even to this day, you know, you see people on social media making, you know, jokes about it and everything. They even made a joke towards Kamala Harris, but since she's running now, to say, so is this a black job? You know,
that's right.
People try to figure out, you know, what did he mean by that? What does a black job mean?
Well, he meant menial labor. He meant somebody that mows a lawn. I mean, that really, that's what he meant. And okay. and he's still saying it because he doesn't even know what he said because he's that ignorant. And because again, ignorant means that you don't know the facts, you don't know any information. That man is ignorant. He just doesn't know. Now, there's some things that he says that are horrible, which he does know. But I'm gonna bet that he doesn't even understand that he is saying. Of course, now he probably does because somebody said it to him. But you know, he's out here talking about black jobs, meaning menial labor, and it's just he's not getting any friendship coming from the black community by talking that way.
Yeah, but what he's trying to do, though, and this is something I've noticed, he's trying to get like certain rappers to back him.
Sure.
Because there were at least a handful of rappers that he has pardoned who were serving
He's pardoned, right.
You know, yeah. You know, when he was president.
Sure.
So you have those, it's probably like maybe, to my understanding, about four of them who are in support of him. You know, so just, it's like in a way trying to pull black support by having these rappers, you know, support him openly. So if they support him, then they say, oh, you know, and some black people can support him too.
Yeah. Well, I've said all along that he would probably, that is Donald, get between 5% and 8% of the black vote, which is generally what any Republican candidate would get. And at this point, I think that's locked in. I think if he gets above 5%, it'll be a miracle, because I believe with what's happening all over the country, but certainly in the black community as well, that that her campaign's on fire. Black people are going to vote for her. Not going to vote for that nutcase.
Now, I will say, if anything, you know, this election alone is going to really count on the black vote. Because there are people out there for like, you know, voting doesn't matter, or why should I vote? Nothing's going to change. But the reality is, voting is going to really help this election, especially the black vote.
Yeah, I've been saying blacks, women, and young people. And that and that's enough. Because young people all said, we don't want Trump. We don't want Biden. We want somebody young. They now have a young black woman. I think young people are going to be all over this election.
And also for Kamala Harris, too, because she's a graduate of Howard University, which is a historically black university.
Yep.
And she's also a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, which is a national, you know, black sorority. So, you know, even getting the HBCU community involved, and also, you know, those who are in historically black fraternities and sororities as well. So that's also a big thing as well for a lot of people.
And by the way, and I bet you can speak to this because I know nothing about this.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about black fraternities and sororities and how popular they are and how important they are in the black community, because we talked about that a bunch at Washington University over the last 2 weeks. And, you know, some of the people in the program that came from various schools, they spoke about it, but maybe you could help really crystallize what is it? Why is this so big?
So I'll give you the historical significance of it first, and then I'll get into my own personal reasoning. So in the early 20th century, you know, blacks were not allowed to be in the traditional white organizations on college campuses. And because we were not welcome, you know, blacks decided to form their own organizations. And every organization that's been founded, which in the modern day is 9 organizations total, you know, every single one of the organizations are founded on service. Or every single organization is founded on service. And it's made a huge impact in the black community. I can even, you know, speak, even looking through the civil rights movement, through parts of history, you see members of these said organizations. I mean, they're not going to televise, they're not going to voice it, but that's what they're a part of. Now, for me personally, so because I'm a member of a historically black fraternity, of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity, and, you know, I've been a member almost 10 years, and to this day, it still impacts me to this day. And being able to be a member and be able to be an advocate for my community, and that's the most important thing, is to make an impact in your community and paying it forward.
Yeah, and that's exactly what every teacher at Washington University over the last 2 weeks, it's exactly what each one said, almost identical to what mm-hmm. you just told us. And everyone said, it's not just a name, it's a real commitment for a lifetime.
It's a lifetime commitment. It does not stop.
Yeah. And I think sadly, white people don't even, number one, recognize the extent to which this pulls black people together in support of not only being black, but like you said, service to the community. You know, I mean, Donald Trump's out here talking about black jobs, and the fact is, if he were out talking about the importance of black organizations that provide service and how that would be an unbelievably great model for the white community to likewise follow, which they don't,
mm-hmm.
Well, it would take too much common sense, and he hasn't got none. Right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's a mess. I'll tell you, I would be feeling pretty negative about things if we were still stuck today where we were 2 weeks ago, because I really believed that it was going to take Joe Biden to stand up and separate himself from this election, and then to put Kamala Harris in charge in order to really invigorate everybody. And it's worked, and he did it. And by the way, do you know about the speech he's giving tonight?
No, I haven't heard much about it.
Okay, so he's speaking tonight at 6 o'clock, so that's 1 hour after we get off the air, 7 o'clock Eastern time, and he's going to speak from the White House, and he's going to explain why he did what he did, and he's going to talk about the entire situation here, which, again, I mean, he's got to have so much credit personally. This has nothing to do with a vote. It has nothing to do with anything except for the fact that he has stood up, like a lot of times I like to say, as basically a profile in courage, you know, the old John Kennedy book. I mean, he has stood up in a way that is so separate from anything that you've seen at any time from the Republican Party. It's just a shame.
That it is. And it's really not gonna say it was unfortunate because the craziest thing is with all the things Donald Trump says, he still has this support. Like, look, for example, his assassination attempt, which led to the director of Secret Service of resigning.
Yep.
And you have these MAGA supporters, you know, walking around with bandages on
sure
on their ears, which is like, wow,
a little bizarre. Yeah,
just a tad, but it just, you know, it's just no matter what, because mostly people will say, you know, he makes outlandish comments or out of pocket comments, but you know, they're looking, you know, MAGA supporters are viewing him as their hero. You know, especially now him, you know, being, you know, with an assassination attempt, they're really supporting him now.
Yeah. And really up until Kamala took over in the Democratic Party, a lot of people were really starting to worry that there was just an energy in the Republican Party. But, you know, things happen in the world, and here's one of these events that turned everything the other way, and suddenly all the emotion is in the Democratic Party, and a lot of people on the Republican side are really scared and have even voiced the concern that maybe they shouldn't have picked J.D. Vance because he's out here saying things that are clearly misogynist. And, you know, the misogyny is right on the surface. You can see it. The anti-blackness is, you know, maybe a slight layer below that, but it's all there. And it's really angering people on the Democratic Party side and independents as well. Mm-hmm.
And on top of, you know, this Project 2025 as well, you know, that's been a huge controversy as of late.
Sure.
You know, and I know it's a very long document, but there a lot of it, you know, affects not only people of color, but affects a lot of people.
Affects everybody. Like, affects everybody.
Because those who are in support of Project 2025 feel like it's only affecting the black community.
No.
Not just us. It's others as well.
Yeah, and I haven't read the whole 900 pages yet because, believe me, usually I try to read everything. But this is a long one. But I'm reading, and I'm working through it. And I can tell you, for example, on page 562, and this really is so amazing because this isn't about abortion. This is a different one. This is something that it's such a 90-10 issue that it's not even worth talking about, but they're saying that they want to put people in jeopardy of being jailed if they're in any way tied to advocating for birth control. For birth control. It's a 90-10 issue in America. I mean, how are you going to win that one?
Just like, if I'm not mistaken, there is a part of Project 2025 that, you know, takes away IEPs.
Yes, that is true. No, they're because they're crazy. I mean, and I'll bet you a lot of them don't even know what an IEP is. I mean, these are plans for kids in school to try to help them to be able to navigate a classroom when maybe they have ADD or maybe they have some other learning disability. And so we set these things up in order to try to help kids to fit in.
Absolutely. And also IEPs don't just, black children and minority children do not have, are not the only ones that have IEPs.
Well, of course not.
There are other, you know, there are children of all races that have IEPs who have accommodations.
Sure.
In order for them to have a good learning environment.
Yeah. The things that they want done are so complicated in terms of the way they want to reshape the way everybody lives It's dumb because you could understand if they just wanted to fix things that were very unpopular and were considered an imposition. But it's not even that. For example, they want to fire tens of thousands of civil service people. I mean, these are regular people who pass an exam and are able to go get a job for the government because we try to set up what we call a meritocracy, meaning that they earn it so that they can do it. And right. And so they want to get all these people out, and they want all of these people instead to be replaced by Donald Trump as political appointees who would be loyal to him. What country is that?
Was Trump trying to bring back the spoils system?
Well, he is. No, he is. That is exactly it. His people, everybody else has to go, and he's not going to be there because I'm telling you right now, he can't be elected. I've said it all along, and now I am positive that I'm right. And somebody could go back and say, well, if not for Kamala Harris, you might have been wrong. Well, you could if and maybe and might be all you want, but in this situation, Donald is not going to be president of anything except for the only thing that I always say, and I'm sure you've heard me say this, the prisoner association. He could be the president of that. And actually, even though so far all these things have been shot down, you know, these other cases, aside from the one that he obviously lost, there are some things cooking right now. And those cases are undoubtedly going to be coming back. We're not going to talk about all that right now, but I will say that Judge Cannon, Aileen Cannon, is in a lot of trouble, and especially if the 11th Circuit does what a lot of people say, which is that they're probably going to knock her down on this last thing where she threw the case out. She dismissed it. I know nobody's read this. It's 93 pages, and I did read this one. And this was the order that she gave to shut down the Mar-a-Lago documents case. And I can tell you that there's a very high probability that the 11th Circuit is going to excoriate her, which they've done twice already, and they do it three times. They're going to remove her from the case. So good luck, Donald. I know he doesn't care. I know he doesn't care. But he's going to care when he has to look at that black woman on the stage and she rips him apart because she's a phenomenal debater. And all he can say at this point is things like, her laugh is stupid. I mean, what does that have to do with anything? Her laugh. He says, you can tell she's crazy because listen to her laugh. This is not going to endear him with the American public except for that small group of MAGA people who, I have to tell you, if it's not shrinking, it's definitely not expanding one more person at this point, because people out here are looking around and saying, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah. But, you know, I guess the part that I'm noticing is, you know, there are people that have spoke up against Trump who have opposed him and all that. And for some reason, you know, some of those same people who were, you know, bashing him in the media are supporting him now. Which, you know, which is crazy and makes no sense to me, but it just seemed like it's a pattern.
It is. I mean, J.D. Vance is on tape saying that he was the American Hitler just a couple years ago. Now he's saying he made a mistake. He's actually a great president. Come on. You go from Hitler to great? I don't think so. But I'll tell you where people can go, and if you'll hang in here a second, we'll get to the second part of the show. But first thing I need to do is get people to go for dinner to a terrific restaurant, and that is Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in the Valley, Chesterfield Valley, and they've got great food, and you know, everybody loves wings. You love wings?
I do.
So I'm telling you. I did this last night. I had a friend of mine, Charles Muhammad, on, and first thing I said, what do you think about wings? Oh, he loves wings. Everybody loves wings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't personally, but that's not the point. The point is everybody else does, and they're great at Wendy's. Now, they also have hamburgers and cheeseburgers and patty melts and smoked meats and salads and pizza. But what I like, and this is my thing, Walter, baby back ribs. That's not bad, right?
You can't go wrong with that.
Nah. So anyway, so at least I like something. And then I also love onion rings.
They've
got great onion rings at Wendy's.
Okay.
Now, here's the interesting thing about this, Walter, because people don't want to look like they're eating too much. You know, that it's sort of embarrassing to them. So what they can do at Wendy's is eat everything you want and then sort of slow down. And then all you have to do is walk out the door, get in your car, and drive to Defiance, Missouri. Because in Defiance, Missouri, they just opened up a second Wendy's. This is the Wendy's Roadhouse in Defiance at 2999 South Highway 94. Those people don't know what you've eaten already. So you can go out there and just do it all over again. Now, I can't protect you from the calories, but at least people won't think you ate too much.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a great restaurant. That's Wendy's, Defiance, Chesterfield Valley. You'll love Ben. Ben and his wife have built a great restaurant here, and I hope you'll enjoy them as much as everybody else I know has. Okay. Then there is Jules on Hampton, which, of course, is at 4506 Hampton. And they have every kind of jewelry you could possibly imagine. They have cases and cases and cases filled with jewelry in this store that's, well, it's big enough to house the jewelry, and that's about it. They got a lot of jewelry. And they buy and sell jewelry. They buy and sell coins. They're just a great place for people who are, for example, wanting to design their own jewelry. Or if you want Al and his son, AJ, they are real professionals, experts, and they'll design jewelry for you their way. So, I mean, you've got a lot of different ways to go. And the thing about it is you can imagine, honestly, Walter, when you go into this place, first of all, you can go to say hi to Al and AJ. They're really fun people. So that's great. But with all the saying hi and being friends and looking at the jewelry, I mean, it gets late. You spend a lot of time there. So you go ahead and you look at your watch, and you find out your watch doesn't work. Hmm. They repair watches. They do everything. Jules on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. There is Al and AJ. You will love them. And finally, my favorite men's clothing at the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton on the corner of Central and Forsyth. And you know, for the last 2 years, Walter, that we've been working together up at Cardinal Ritter, that I always come in my suit and tie, which, mm-hmm. of course, all of this I get from the St. Louis Suit Company. They match all my clothes because I'm colorblind and all that. But you know, the funny thing is that I've been told by Nick and Jay, who are the owners. Jay's the dad, Nick's the son, and they got all the family working up there. Anyway, they have explained to me that the new hot fashion in America is you wear a suit coat, but you wear regular pants, and it's the new fashion. And I don't know why, and you, of course, know I wear my Chucks every day, But but now I have learned that I can wear a suit, as you see right here, but then also I can wear blue jeans with my suits, and it's fashionable. And the funny thing about that is I walked into an elevator yesterday at Washington University, and there was a lady in the elevator, and she looked at me, and she said, "Are you a weatherman?" And I said, what are you talking about? She said, "Well, the guy on the weather report, he wears, you know, a suit like that with blue jeans and tennis shoes." I said, "Well, I'm not a weatherman, but I am fashionable." So that's really good. And then the other thing is, if you're getting married out there, the place to go for wedding attire is the St. Louis Suit Company. They are real experts in that, and they've been doing that for a long time, too. They've been there in Clayton for 29 years, so I guess they're pretty good. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Okay, so here's another thing that people are up to out here. Walter, I don't know where this comes from, but they're saying that there's a cover-up that has taken place because Joe Biden, they believe, is senile, and he no longer can do anything, can't talk, can't think, nothing. And the government has known this, and they've been hiding it from the American people. And they first of all, they want this cover-up investigated. And secondly, they want Joe Biden removed by the 25th Amendment. They come up with a lot of good things, don't they?
All the time.
What's their problem?
I mean, and I asked you this question. Did they have the same, you know, reaction to Ronald Reagan when he was president?
And of course, the answer is absolutely not.
Because last time I checked, and maybe I'm wrong, but
no, you're right.
Ronald Reagan was up in age when he was in office.
Well, worse than that. He was declining significantly in his last year in the White House. Nobody removed him. Nancy Reagan knew. The people around him knew. They kept it quiet, and they worked through it.
Okay, so what, you know, for Joe Biden, I mean, Joe Biden is in his 80s. You know, I'm not saying he's senile or anything, but he's in his 80s. I mean, he's not always gonna be as sharp as someone who was in their 20s and 30s. You know, so I don't really see the reason why, but I've also seen too, you know, from Biden, you know, resigning, you know, in the 3.5 years he has been president, no one can ever say that he was a bad person.
Well, they say it, but he's not. You're right.
Like, no, absolutely no one can say it. I mean, sure, he's made mistakes along the way. You know, he's may have had a, you know, few quirky moments in his presidency.
Sure.
That does go viral on social media, too. But that doesn't make him a bad person. He's a president who was in his 80s.
No, that's exactly right. And when you get right down to it, he's. First of all, saved NATO. I mean, that's a fact. He not only saved it, but he added two of the most important countries, which were Finland and Sweden, who have two of the strongest armies in the world. So he strengthened this important group of people, 32 countries, that we depend on for keeping the world away from World War III. So that's the first thing. He's done a great job at this. And these leaders from those countries praise him. Every day they praise him. So I mean, what do they know that these other people who are running around calling him, you know, demented and so forth, that they don't know? Because apparently it's something significant that they do know. And he's going to get up and speak tonight. He's going to sound great. He's not going to sound like a 59-year-old prosecutor, which is, of course, Kamala. He's not going to sound that good, but he's going to sound really genuine, and he's going to sound like somebody who cares about democracy, and I think he'll probably say that. And I don't know, anybody that walks away from the presidency, and of course, he's still going to be president for the next 6 months, okay? But anybody that walks away from the opportunity to serve a second term, I mean, he's only doing it because he loves America and he loves democracy. He's trying to protect it from Donald Trump. And that is something that people are going to honor, and they're already doing it.
Yeah, because he put his ego aside.
Yeah.
He'd rather see the country thrive and continue than see himself run again.
Yeah, I know that, and so do most of the people on the center to center left in our country. I mean, they get it. Now, these people that are on the far right, yeah, they've gone bonkers, but they were bonkers anyway. And I think there's going to be a lot of emotion that we see tonight in this speech coming from Joe Biden, and I think he's going to be sharp. You know, he's going to be reading from the teleprompter. He's very good at that. And he's still going to slur words sometimes. That's true. The man had a stutter when he was a kid. And, you know, it's sort of come back in this way of words being slurred. But in all, he's turned the country over in this campaign to Kamala Harris, and the Democratic Party's on fire.
So my question to you is, you know, because Kamala is not the official, you know, candidate yet, so when will the Democratic Party announce that?
Okay, well, first of all, it's been announced that she now officially has enough delegate support so that she will be the nominee. So that's that part's done. She's got enough. There's a virtual voice vote that's going to take place sometime very soon, next few days or a week. And after that, it'll be official. And then she'll go into the convention already acknowledged as the candidate. Now, the next question is, who's going to be the VP? And, of course, there are a lot of discussions about that. And of all the five people, I think, that have been pointed to, I don't think there's anybody out there that anybody's upset about. They're all good people.
Yeah, because I've heard a few names in the course of the last couple of days, you know, like, you know, Andy Beshear,
yep.
Roy Cooper, Shapiro, Warnock was an option to even Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. Like that, you know, that's an interesting group of people.
So. And even Wes Moore, the governor of Maryland. But the problem is they're probably not going to have two blacks on the ticket, and they're probably not going to have two women on the ticket, which would be Gretchen Whitmer, who I think has already said she doesn't want it anyway. But but the truth is, I mean, and she didn't say it in a snarky way or anything like that. She just, you know, wants to continue to be the governor of Michigan. And she knows she's not going to be picked because everybody knows we're not going to have two women. Although there wouldn't be anything wrong with it. I mean, if they were two great women, which in this case they are, it would be okay. But the public would probably throw a fit, and so they're undoubtedly not going to do that one.
The country will lose their minds. You have two women on the ticket for president. They'll lose their minds.
Yeah. I don't know. The other side is, though, is it might inspire so many people on the Democratic Party side that it wouldn't matter what all those poor white men are thinking. And really, it shouldn't matter. Because those white men need to get over the fact that in 20 years, white people are going to be a minority in America. And I guarantee you, if they're in the minority, they still don't have anything to cry about because they still will be trying to invoke their white privilege, and they'll still not be going through slavery or something. I mean, it's not, they're not going to be treated like black people or even Hispanics have been treated in this country historically. But they do have to understand that there are other groups that do need to be respected.
Yeah. And once we get past that, you know, we would be better as a people.
Hopefully. Hopefully. Yeah. You know, I mentioned yesterday, and I don't know if you saw this, Walter, but, you know, out in Francis Howell, they're fighting over libraries again, trying to block books, shut down libraries. I mean, how could they even imagine that that's going to be a popular issue in the United States, except for the fact that they think that by being anti-black, somehow they're going to accomplish something that way?
When it comes to the banned books, you know, because I've seen books on there that I read when I was a kid. I didn't understand why it's even on the banned book list, you know, and I think a lot of it's because there are people out there who, when you read some of these books, you know, they don't want to explain these books to their children.
Sure.
Or there are people that feel, you know, their children should be reading these type of books because of suggested themes that are in the book. But the reality is some of the themes in the book are true and has happened. Not necessarily in the way it's portrayed in the book, but it's happened.
Yeah, well, and beyond that, Florida banned a biography, two biographies, Roberto Clemente and Hank Aaron. Now, explain to me what that's about. I mean, it can only be about one thing, right?
Yeah, because they don't look like... They didn't look like the traditional baseball players at the time.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think people would be far beyond that and realize that some of these people now, that they fear for no reason, but they fear them, are actually the heroes of millions and millions of Americans. You know, there were always people who were upset because Hank Aaron hit more home runs than Babe Ruth.
He did. but a lot of it is because, again, there are some Americans out there who don't want these stories told. You know, they don't want their children to hear about Hank Aaron or Roberto Clemente or just different people who have, different non-white people who have, and people of color who have made an impact on this country and feel like it shouldn't be taught in schools for whatever reason, whatever their reason it is.
Yeah. By the way, you said the word color. That's another thing that was said today. Some nitwit out there called Kamala Harris a colored woman.
I don't mean to laugh.
Yeah, where do these people come from? I certainly can't tell you.
Are we in the 1950s?
Well, even then, they didn't say that. They said that before the 1950s, but yeah, you know, at school, when we read things like Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, and they say something about the American Negro, you know, our kids, they feel squeamish over that. They know that nobody's supposed to be calling them colored, you know, after, you know, in our history, you know, we had, you know, colored water fountains, colored swimming pools, all that kind of nonsense. I mean, it's just, it's a bad word in American culture. And anybody that doesn't understand that shouldn't be running for an office. And these were people running for some kind of position. I don't know what it was. And it's just, it's ridiculous. By the way, I know you're on the Illinois side, but have you heard of this guy, Lincoln Huff?
No, I haven't heard of him.
So he's running for lieutenant governor in Missouri. And the thing about the lieutenant governor of Missouri is the job is actually to do nothing. There's no job. And they get paid, but there's nothing to do. Not in charge of anything. Now, that's not to say the governor couldn't ask the lieutenant governor to go pick up some sandwiches or something. Could do that. You know, but essentially, the lieutenant governor has no job. This guy is on television in Missouri talking about Kamala Harris has allowed migrants to come in who are murdering people and destroying America. And what we need is to build the wall, and that he is going to get out here and do everything he can as lieutenant governor to make sure that the wall is built. Well, first of all, we're in Missouri, not in Texas. This is not a border state. Somebody better explain it to him. And the second thing is, the lieutenant governor of Missouri doesn't do anything in Missouri, let alone build a wall down in Texas.
I guess they want to do all they can to make sure the immigrants don't get in the country one way or the other.
Yeah, but I think when he loses, I think we're going to have to send him to you, to one of your American history classes, Walter. And you can maybe get him straight.
You know, I think a lot of people need to retake American history.
I think so.
Because there are some people that have no idea how the foundation of government works. So it would be, there should be an option for some people.
Because
there are some people that are just loud and wrong.
That's for sure. But one thing is for sure is that we've got some kids coming back. And I know that, you know, the first day or two, they look around and think, are we really back in school again? You know, for sure. But I think very quickly, this is going to be an exciting year. You want to talk about what we're doing in our classes, you and I, about the election?
Yeah, so the goal for this school year, or at least this part of the school, first half, I mean, in honor of the presidential election, you know, have our students, you know, project the voting outcomes in each state. You know, will it be a blue state? Will it be a red state? Will it be a swing state? You know, and how has, you know, these states voted in the past? You know, that will be the student's job to research those voting patterns and to see and predict for themselves how this election is going to go. And now, because we have Harris on the ballot, we can, you know, it's really going to switch it up. You know, how's, you know, look at ethnic groups, looking at all these different groups of people and how are they going to vote?
You think our black students are going to be very excited about Kamala Harris being a potential black president?
I believe they will.
I think they will. Yeah.
I believe they will.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be a good representation for them.
No, I certainly agree. I think it's going to be an exciting year, certainly at our school, where we have about 450 brilliant black scholars. And really, these are really sharp young people who I think are going to take to this election thing in a really serious way. They're going to learn all about the Electoral College, all about how we determine which states get how many electors. And I mean, they're going to learn so much in the process of following this day by day. And the whole school is really going to be in on it together.
Absolutely. We have a reputation to uphold, and we're going to keep that standard going.
No, I'm sure we are, Walter. I really appreciate you coming on with me tonight, and I'm glad you've enjoyed your summer, and in a minute we're going to get back to work.
We will. Thank you for having me. I'm definitely excited to come back on the show again.
Okay. For the St. Louis Suit Company, for Jules on Hampton, for Wendy's, I'm Mark Kaysen with Walter Hood. This is Showdown. Good night.